Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolokimab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
The wrongs we must right. The fights we must win. The future we must secure together for our nation. This is what's in front of us. This determines what's next for all of us. We are Marines. We were made for this.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Jonathan DeBurka Butler is here once again to bring us news from other parts of the world. Good afternoon.
Sean, how are you getting on?
Right, South Sudan we're going to go to first. The VP there has been arrested and possibility of the civil war coming back.
Yes, so South Sudan, it's a country we've covered quite a bit over the years. And amazingly, the two main characters in this particular story have been there since we've started covering this. They've been there for years. So very briefly, South Sudan broke away from Sudan, got its independence in 2011. Straight after that, or pretty much straight after that, there was a civil war. 400,000 people were killed. A lot of people say, from a simplistic point of view, that it was along ethnic lines, the Dinka versus the Nuer, who'd be the two most prominent ethnic groups in that part of the world. But really, what it was these two egomaniacs vying for power, okay? And so the people in question, the two people that we're talking about is Salva Kiir, who's now the president. People who follow this will know him. He's the guy who wears the cowboy hat and he sweats a lot. And Riek Machar, who's the vice president. And they got into those positions as a result of this peace treaty that was drawn up in 2018. Now, it's been on and off for a very long time, and there's always been tension. It's not like they were Martin McGuinness and Ian Paisley, the Chuckle Brothers. They were never chuckling at any stage. And as I said, there's always been tensions between them. So now, the situation we're at the moment is that late last week, the Vice President, Riek Machar, was placed under house arrest. Basically, the Minister for Defence and the Chief National Security, accompanied by a convoy of over 20 heavily armed vehicles, went to his house. They disarmed his bodyguards. They arrested both himself and his wife, who's the Minister for the Interior. And that is the situation at the moment. The reaction from Machar and his party, not from him, obviously, because he couldn't say anything, but from his party, was that as far as they're concerned, this peace treaty is now over. So the response from the international community is, please don't do this. Please consider letting Riek Machar out, okay, and taking him out of this, albeit he's at home. Set him free, essentially, and we can try and get back and negotiate whatever the situation or whatever the problem is.
Yeah. Is there any other outside body who can maybe intervene here in a diplomatic sense, I mean?
I don't know, to tell you the truth. I mean, there's all sorts of organisations within, you know, Africa. I suppose the United States have jumped in here. They have, I think they have a special envoy to South Sudan. And again, they've called for the release of the vice president. You know, tensions have been ramping up. It should be said it's a case of an organization called the White Army Militia that used to fight along Riek Machar during that civil war. And they've been active again in the last few months. And he says that he's not associated with them anymore. But it's suspected that he might be, or at least the other side suspects that he is. And as far as they're concerned, or as far as the state is concerned, that's grounds to arrest him. But I have to say, I think it's going to go very badly wrong. And given that there's loads of stuff happening just north of them in Sudan,
yeah,
it's terrible for the region. So again, watch this space.
We'll move on to Malawi now, where there's a charity there in trouble over elephants.
Yeah, so this is a charity called the International Fund for Animal Welfare, and they are being sued. They undertook a project in July of 2022. It was quite an extraordinary project, really, where they moved 263 elephants from one national park into another national park, right? They put them all to sleep, they lifted them up, put them on trucks and transported them, right? Now, the reason for that was the national park that they were living in was overpopulated. They didn't have enough food. So they moved them into this place called Kasungu National Park. It's 2,316 square kilometres. It's the size of Meath, right?
Wow.
Probably less wild animals in it, though. sorry to all the listeners in Meath. It hasn't been going well, okay? Mm. So they've been there, as I said, since the middle of 2022. And 10 people are bringing a case against this charity because they're saying that they've been directly affected by them. Now, how have they been directly affected? 10 of their family have died. Okay, so they've been trampled, they've been charged at. So either directly or indirectly, they say members of their family have died, and this is because of a massive influx of elephants, really.
Yes, yeah.
You know, the population doubled, if not more than doubled. So even though they had elephants in this national park before, they were used to them, they didn't have the capacity to deal with this amount.
Mm.
And they're saying that there's too much conflict. Humans and elephants are coming into contact too much, and this is what's happening. So they're saying, yeah, we're going to take money off you.
And the NGO who moved the elephants, do they control the national park they moved it to?
So in their statement, they basically said, look, we helped to finance it and we helped with the logistics and and how you do all that. But we don't look after the national parks. That's the government of Malawi. Now, the people in their case are looking for the NGO to build more fences, and they're looking for compensation for the deaths, but also for the damage that has been done to crops and houses all sorts of different things. So they're not, I don't know, neither side at this stage is accepting the other side's case as such. So it looks like a law firm in the UK has taken up the mantle here for them. So there's going to be cases taken in the UK, Malawi and Zambia. I think some of the national park is in Zambia as well. So it'll be interesting to see what sort of traction it gets in the UK as well.
Yeah. Right. Belgium we're going to go to next. This is a very disturbing story, essentially about women being raped and sexually assaulted. And it was drinks they were served in bars.
Yeah. So this is a town in Belgium. It's a small place called Kortrijk, I think it is. A population of about 80,000. Beautiful looking place, looks kind of quiet, but it does have some sort of a nightlife. And the reason I suppose I want to describe it and sort of point out that it's a small place is the scope of this activity is kind of frightening given the size of the population.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So three bar managers in this town have been arrested, right? So five people have been arrested in total, but three bar managers have been arrested. And it seems that they were involved in the spiking of drinks of at least 41 female victims from between December 2021 to December 2024. Now, what happened was that towards the end of last year, I think it was October, seven people came forward, or at least it became apparent, it must have leaked out into the community or whatever, that a high number of victims had come forward, okay? 13 more, when those seven came forward, 13 more came forward, and now we're up to 41, okay? So the police started saying to themselves, right, small place, this looks
fishy
all right. Yeah? So they started investigating, and they found that these three bar managers might have been involved and that they were communicating with each other about it. Now, in what capacity they were communicating, whether it was a WhatsApp group or whether they were planning it or, you know, competing with each other or some other sick stuff or whatever they were doing, we don't know the details. All we know at this point is that of the three bar managers, five people in total have been arrested. All we know at the moment is that two have appeared before an investigating judge, and two of those were bar managers because they've given out the names of the bars now. Another two men were still being questioned, and there was a fifth who's who's been released after being interviewed. Now, whether he'll be called back in again or not, I don't know.
Yeah. So is it three separate bars?
Three separate bars. Yeah. Three separate bars.
Yeah. My word. Right. Australia, we're going to go to next. A case involving someone who died from the use of a taser.
Yes. So this was actually a story. When I saw this the other day, it rang a bell with me. And this was actually a story that we initially covered in May of 2023.
Hmm.
Now, at that stage, we knew that a police officer by the name of Christian White had arrived at a call in an old person's home, right, where a 95-year-old woman who had dementia was going around the home with a knife. She initially had two knives, in fact, and she was threatening other people in the home, right? Obviously, the people who would normally help her couldn't help her at this stage, so they called the police. When the police got there, they found her resting on her Zimmer frame, holding a steak knife in the air. It had serrated edges on it. They couldn't talk her out of dropping the knife. So this guy, a man by the name of Christian White, he's now 35, he's quoted as saying, "Nah, bugger it," and he unloaded the taser on the poor woman. She obviously collapsed to the floor. She smacked her head off the floor, bleed on the brain, and when we covered it in May of 2023, she had gone into hospital.
Yes.
She's since died, okay? She died shortly after that. So obviously there was a case brought and the judgment has come back. So in November of last year, a 12-person jury found Christian White guilty of manslaughter. He could have got up to 25 years for that, but instead he's got community service. This is in the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Okay. In the district and New South Wales Supreme Court territories, don't they call them in Australia?
Yes.
I can't remember. In the Supreme Court. So the judge, he gave a few interesting quotes when he was giving his ruling, right? So this is Justice Ian Harrison, and he said that White misread and misunderstood the dynamics of the situation. He said he was motivated by an honest but mistaken and unreasonable belief about the existence and nature of the threat that was posed. He went on to basically say, look, it was over the top. But he also said that Mr. White does not present a risk or a danger to the community. Mr. White does not pose a risk of reoffending. And he pointed out that he was also a policeman, and going into prison would be hell on earth for him as a former as a former policeman.
Right,
because
so
he's lost his job. He lost the job straight away. And he said that he's already, you know, gone through quite a bit. So there would be no benefit to society putting him in prison, even though he could have gone in there for 25 years.
Yeah.
So instead, 2 years community service or 420 hours over 2 years. And that's what he has to do.
Okay.
The family, needless to say, not really impressed. I don't know if they can appeal. I don't think it's up to them actually to appeal.
Yeah,
it would be up to the state prosecutor, I suppose, or whatever they call them there, to take the case further, if they indeed can. I'm sure there's some sort of a federal court there as well.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, and in general, is there kind of an outcry about this or?
Well, there was at the time.
Yes.
You know, there certainly was at the time that this was this violence was over the top. I mean, again, she was holding a knife, right? She couldn't be talked down, but she was on a Zimmer frame, for God's sake.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, there could have been other ways
that.
Of getting around it.
Yeah, there is that combination. Right, Brazil we're going to go to next. Now, if there was ever going to be an explosive trial, this is going to be it. Jair Bolsonaro, the former president, is going to stand trial for attempting to stage a coup.
Yeah, so this is a quick one. I'm only flagging it really because we flagged it last week.
Sure,
I think when we were finishing up, it was one of those things to look out for during the week. And it was in fact last Tuesday that the Supreme Court's a 5-member panel in the Supreme Court were listening to evidence to see was there enough evidence. It was a hearing essentially. They were trying to figure out was there enough evidence to go ahead with a trial against Jair Bolsonaro for his part, or lack thereof, in promoting his supporters to go crazy, basically, in Brasilia on the 8th of January, 2023. It was a carbon copy of the 6th of January. It was basically it, but with Portuguese. Now, the only difference, I suppose, was that it was a week after Lula was actually sworn in as president. But it was more or less the same thing. So they unanimously decided anyway, listen, there is enough there for the trial to go ahead. So they think it might happen at some stage this year, even.
Yeah.
In time to stop him going forward for elections which are happening in 2026.
God, there's parallels in France with this
Yeah.
But like, are they, you know, have they got like a smoking gun in the sense of Bolsonaro was, you know, saying on social media or some other forum, go and storm the parliament, or
well, undoubtedly.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I don't know if they'd run with it without that. Now, of course, he's turning around and saying it's a political persecution and all the other stuff
of what is
becoming just a script, basically, at this stage for these people who, you know, do things illegally.
Yeah.
And then it's always political persecution. You know what I mean? It's the same old rubbish.
Is it just him that's...
No.
Yeah.
And that's a... I shouldn't say that's a good thing. I'll keep objective and I'll say that's an interesting thing.
Yeah.
Because there are other people involved. So there'll be seven other government officials who are going to be on trial with them as well. Including two former defence ministers and a Navy commander.
Mm.
So these are people who are pretty high up in the military. And of course, he was military himself, actually. So formerly military, as far as I know. I think he was in the Navy.
Yeah.
Need to check that.
Okay, so members of the military as well. That will be very, very interesting. Right, so what could possibly happen over the next 7 days?
Well,
I imagine it'll be quite dull.
Yeah, tomorrow's so-called Liberation Day. We're all looking forward to that. And then on the same day, Nintendo is unveiling the new Switch 2 console.
I'm sorry, Nintendo, could you not choose another day?
So we can all escape reality, perhaps. And just if my boys are listening, the answer is no, you're not getting it.
Yes.
Saturday then on April the 5th is the US deadline for Chinese group Bike Dance to divest TikTok.
Okay,
that'll be very interesting.
Yeah.
And then on the same day, something a little bit more enjoyable, the Grand National.
Yeah. Well, that Nintendo unveiling happened in the United States, is it? Or
I assume so. Sort of live event, I think.
Yeah. If they're making them in the US, then...
Oh, well, all the people who voted for Trump will be watching that.
They
won't be watching,
you know, 9 million euro by the time they get here.
Yeah,
Jonathan, thanks a million, as ever. Jonathan de Burke-Butler there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
To realize the future America needs, we understand what's needed from us. To face each threat head on, we've earned our place in the fight for our nation's future. We are Marines. We were made for this.